Our Father in heaven, we deserve death, but you have given your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, that from the foundations of the world, you were working towards when he would take away the sins of the world. And so we pray that as you take us now through the portion before us, that your Spirit would help the preacher and help all of us who hear, that we would see our Savior, that we would see our sacrifice, that we would see that from which you have redeemed us and that unto which you have redeemed us. We bless you, our God, for your insistence that your people, even from that early date, would have these things held before them. And we pray that your Spirit would continue holding them before us, and particularly now, as we come through this portion of your word, which we pray to do now by your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 13, verses 1 through 16, these are God's words. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand Yahweh brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day. You are going out in the month of Aviv. And it shall be when Yahweh brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what Yahweh did for me when I came up from Egypt.' It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Yahweh has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when Yahweh brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to Yahweh all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The male shall be Yahweh's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.' And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, Yahweh killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Our passage begins with the Lord saying to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn." But Moses doesn't actually get into the consecration of the firstborn for another 8 or 9 verses. Verse 11, "And it shall be when Yahweh brings you into the land of Canaan, that you shall set apart to Yahweh all that open the womb." The first thing that he teaches about and reminds them about is the Passover. He reminds them that they are to do the Passover in the first month, that the Lord wants their year front-loaded, that every fresh year they have, they would start with the memory of God redeeming them. And they would start with the memory of God redeeming them with not only the strength of his arm by what he did to Egypt, but by the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, that would be on the doors of their houses, so that they would remember not only what they deserved, but that the Lord didn't do it to them, that he was providing a substitute. And it's only after that, when he reminds them Now the Lord wants His redeeming you from what you deserve to be always on your mind and always controlling what you do. Did you see that? When He says in verse 9, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand Yahweh has brought you out of Egypt. And then He goes into the consecration of the firstborn, and He tells them to basically say the same thing to them, to remind them about the Passover night and God's bringing them out of the house of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, verse 14, and that Yahweh killed all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. And then He says, therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh all males that open the womb. Now suppose that you are the firstborn son in a family, and you heard Dad say that, and you had seen Dad sacrifice an ox, or sacrifice a lamb, or maybe break a donkey's neck, but donkeys were valuable. So instead of breaking the donkey's neck, you sacrifice the lamb instead of the donkey, and your eyes are getting wide as saucers, because He says, everything that opens the womb, I sacrifice to God. And then He says, but all the firstborn of my sons, I redeem. That means I offer a lamb instead of my son. And yeah, eyes big as saucers. Now it's very important that the firstborn was consecrated unto God, because really, they all deserved to die, didn't they? The firstborn, of course, would have a double portion of the inheritance, and as fleshly people do, and as they did, because they were fleshly, we tend to think, oh, lucky firstborn, he gets twice as much. But why did he need twice as much? Because he was going to be the head of the clan, and he was going to have to lead and provide for the extended family. And so when the one who is the representative and the one who is the leader is the one that God says, I want you to make sure as soon as he's born that you show everyone in the family that he ought to be dead, then everyone in the family knows. That's what I deserve. That's a federal representative in the making right there. But God provides a substitute in the consecrating of the firstborn. And he points to the substitute in the Passover. So the two are very related, because you can see what Moses says to them about God's redemption, not just being something that happens once at the beginning of every year, but that what they're reminded by at that celebration, the beginning of every year, should be as a sign to you on your hand. Every time you extend your hand to do something, you remember, oh, I've been purchased by the blood of God. Or I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We've been purchased by the blood of God. They too, they didn't figure that out yet. But I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I ought to be dead. I owe God all that I am. Everyone owes God all that they are. When he says, consecrate to me the firstborn, he's not saying, well, the second through 13th borns, you know, they're not as holy to God. They're not as set apart to him. They're not as atoned for by the sacrifice that God provides. No, he's not saying that about them. But what he does so that they can see it, he does to teach them all. I mean, think about that firstborn son. You know, when he's less than a year old, is he able to tell that a lamb has been sacrificed in his place? Or, as we find out later, if you're too poor, a couple of doves were sacrificed in his place? He doesn't remember that happening. But he knows that that happened for him in his case every bit as much as he grows up and he sees other firstborn being sacrificed of the animals, and he sees other firstborn sons being redeemed in other families. He would know, I should have been dead, especially because I'm the firstborn. I have a greater responsibility before God, and yet God atoned for me just like he did for them. And that's helpful to a lot of you who have been baptized, as the Lord commands us to put the sign of the covenant on our children, and to know that he lays claim to them from the womb, not just boys, but girls. If you were in the old covenant, just because you didn't get circumcised, you didn't think, Well, the boys are set apart to God by his sign, but I'm a girl, so I can do whatever I want. No, you wouldn't think that. You would know that the sign that was put on the boy taught you something that was true about you too. But now you get to have the sign. But a lot of you who had the sign, not quite on the eighth day, maybe on the eighth day, I get excited when I get to do it before the eighth day, because I'm like, take that circumcision, new covenant. Maybe a little bit after the eighth day, you don't remember the water being applied to you, but every time you see it, you know that it's been done to you. And you know what Jesus is showing about you, being set apart to him, and that he is the one who actually gives you repentance. You don't have to meet him halfway, because you can't. But his Spirit meets you all the way. He pours out his Spirit, and his Spirit gives you faith, and his Spirit gives you repentance. And you know that you have forgiveness of sins, because it's something that Jesus does, and you belong to him. Not that you would have otherwise rightly belong to yourself. You know, the pagan, the wicked, is judged for not offering himself unto the Lord. But he has set a special sign upon you of being set apart to him. And how much better for those of you who can't remember it happening to you. Because all the more now, you see it when it happens to everyone else. And you know, that happened to me. And it's like being baptized for the first time every time. It's actually a little bit harder for those who are converted as adults, because they're baptized when they can remember it. And they are likely to attach more to the moment in which the water was applied than to him who, upon whose command the water was applied. And so they are likely to confuse the sign with the thing signified and always look back to that day. No, don't look back to that day. Look up to him who pours the Spirit as signified to you on that day. And when you remember that day, or if you don't remember that day, but you know it happened, look to him. That's the way it was for all the circumcised babies. And that's the way it was for all of the consecrated firstborn. The Lord wanted them, just like their parents, to have, verse 16, their consecration as a sign on their hands and a frontlet between their eyes, for by strength of hand, Yahweh brought us out of Egypt. And we remember that he used his power to save us, to take us for himself. You stick out your hand and you say, I've been saved by God. I've been atoned for by Christ the substitute. Let me do with my hand as serves the God who owns me, to whom I've been set apart. And as frontlets between your eyes, that the way you see everything, you always have, as it were, your salvation from God in Jesus Christ in your peripheral vision. And that'll help you with Deuteronomy 6 as well, because he later uses the same language, doesn't he, of the law of God being in our hearts and on our mouths. But here he starts with the gospel being on our hearts and in our mouths, as on our hands and between our eyes, so that the Lord's mouth also, verse 9, Lord's law also, verse 9, will be in our mouth. Let's ask God the Spirit to do this for us. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for what you did for the Israelites in giving them not only the signs of Passover and circumcision, but also this sign unto them of the consecration of the firstborn. And yet, O Lord, we study in our Bibles and see that even they who had such good ceremonies that were to point them to Christ very rarely laid hold of the truth that you presented them with, of your saving by grace, your saving by a substitute, your taking them for yourself and consecrating them apart to yourself. And so we come to you, Lord, thanking you that you have given us better signs that are commanded and instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that speak to us of a finished work that he has completed, and an ongoing work that he does, and the pouring out of his Spirit, and the giving of life, and the giving himself to us, and until he comes to be our life. And we thank you for these signs, and we pray that you would give the Spirit who is signified to us, lest we should have good signs, and yet forget that you have saved us, forget that you have claimed us and consecrated us apart to you, forget to look to Christ for all of the life and power by which we would do that. Don't let us forget, but grant that your Spirit would keep blessing to us the signs that you have given us, so that we would have our redemption always between our eyes, always on our hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.